We're certainly pleased with the presence of each one this evening, and I want to commend the congregation for your attendance during these meetings. Have been, it seems to me, very, very good. I appreciate it. I'm sure all the congregation here appreciates it as well. I want to also thank you for the invitation to spend the weekend with you and study together from the Word of God, and we pray that it has been profitable to us all, that you've learned something that you can apply to your life. And the lessons have been primarily, of course, to the church, the congregation, try to encourage us, to uplift us, to be strong and active in God's kingdom, do the best we can to preserve so many souls that are about to be lost if we can bring them to salvation. Also, I want to thank you for your friendliness and hospitality, and we enjoyed our stay this weekend, and we don't live too far away, so we should be able to get back for a visit now and then, especially since we have a few relatives in the community. I don't know exactly when, maybe it's a year ago, but sometime back, and I was thinking, you know, what if you only had one sermon to preach? What would you preach? You know, what would you? I suppose it would depend on who it was that you were going to talk to, that, you know, what you thought that individual or that group of individuals needed. But as I was thinking about that, wondering, you know, just what someone would preach at their last lesson, and then I realized, of course, there are many examples in the Old Testament where they had their last speech. Moses' speech to Israel and Joshua's speech. They gave a final speech to Israel just before they died. And so, but then in the New Testament, I thought, well, we've got three examples in the New Testament. We have the Paul. The Apostle Paul to the elders at Ephesus, and he said that in Acts chapter 20, and he said that, you know, that you won't see my face again. And so obviously he knew, Paul understood, this is my last chance to speak to these elders, and we have that recorded there in Acts chapter 20. And then in 2 Timothy chapter 4, we have Paul's statement. He said that my departure is at hand. I'm ready to be offered. And so we find here that Paul was giving his last dissertation to Timothy, which I believe was probably the second book there, Timothy's second letter. But that was, he felt like that would probably be the last time that he was going to be addressing Timothy in this regard. And then I thought, well, there's one more, and that one is in Peter. It's in 2 Peter chapter 1, and that's going to be our study for this evening. And Peter's, this chapter is addressed to the just children, Christians in general, not to the elders of the church, or not to a single Christian or evangelist as Timothy was, but he addresses it, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God in our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. So he addresses it then to the church, all of those with like precious faith, all of these who belong to Christ. And we observe in the 12th verse where he says, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them and be established in present truth. He said, I'm going to tell you some things that you already know and you're well established, but I'm going to tell it to you again. Verse 14, he said, knowing that shortly I must put off my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. And that's my topic this evening, always in remembrance. And what I note here in the study is Peter recognizes, he said, that his life is short, that he's going to depart this life, and he's got things on his mind that he wants to impart with the brethren there to whom he is writing. And so we look at these things and we just see, well, what does he have to say? Verse 3. He goes on and he says, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us unto glory and virtue. Peter said, I've got some things that I want you to always remember. He said, I want you to remember them while I'm with you. I'm going to remind you as long as I'm in this body. He said, and I want you to remember them after I've passed on, that you might always remember these things. Well, what do you want us to remember, Peter? And he said, I want you to remember what you have. Remember what you have. According as divine power has given unto us all things pertaining to life and godliness. Brethren, you've got everything you need. And Peter says, I want to remind you again. You know that. You've known it all since you learned it. And he said, but I'm going to remind you again. And he said, I'm going to remind you as long as I'm in this tabernacle, as long as I'm alive. I'm going to keep reminding you over and over again. You've got everything you need. Remember what you have. You have the revelation of God. You have that all scripture that was given by inspiration and profitable for mankind, that we might be perfect, complete individuals. You don't need anything else. One thing we need to remember and always remember is we've got all we need. We don't need any more. Jude, verse 3, brethren, I give all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation and exhort you, he said, that you earnestly contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. So many religions of the world today, their origin comes from new revelations or additions to what we already have, what God has revealed. Peter said, there's just one thing, brethren, you keep in mind, always keep in mind. Doesn't matter how much time goes by, how much time passes, how old you become. Remember this one thing. Remember what you have. You have the revelation of God, and it is complete, and you don't need anything else. It provides, he said, everything that pertains to life and godliness, the knowledge of him that has called us unto glory and virtue. Galatians tells us don't add anything to it. Someone preaching something else, he said, it's not the truth. In 2 John in the 9th verse, he says that we shouldn't leave off. Don't transgress from this teaching of Christ. Because if we transgress, he said, then we're without God and without Christ. This is all you need, Peter said. He said, I know you know this. Not something new. But he said, I want to remind you of this. I want you to remember that you've got all that you need. And he said, as long as I live, I'm going to remind you again, over and over again. Because he said, when I'm gone, when I pass from this life, he said, I want you to always remember you've got all you need. Don't be looking somewhere else. Brethren, I think sometimes in the present time, but I suppose in all times, it seems like people say, yeah, I know I have everything here. This is all that we need. And yet you get the feeling they're looking for something else. They think, let's try something new. What about this or what about that? And of course, it doesn't change little things. Let's have two songs instead of three or something. I'm not talking about that. But I mean, changing things that if it's not doctrinal, it's very close to doctrinal. And why would you begin to think, well, let's take this name off the sign out there. Is that something new we thought of? Peter said, brother, I want to tell you, you've got everything you need. You don't need to change anything. If you got the truth, you're following the truth, why change the truth? He said, remember, always remember these things. Remember what you have. Verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding and great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. He says, brethren, always remember what you have. You've got all the truth. Secondly, remember the promises. Remember the great and precious promises. Paul mentions in 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, about how the men strive for a crown in athletic events or athletic games, and how that they strive and how hard they work and how they sacrifice and they watch their diet and working towards. And he says, what are they working toward? And he said, they're looking at the crown. He said, it's a corruptible one. That's why all of the effort. That's why all of this work. Because the crown, they keep looking for the crown. He said, well, we're looking for an incorruptible crown. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14, Paul writes there, and he says that he's striving. He said, not as though I had already attained. Either we're already perfect, but I follow after that which I may apprehend, for which I also am apprehended of Christ. He sees something in the future. There's something he's after out there. Something he said, I want to apprehend. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forth to the things which are before. Keeping his sight on the crown, on the victory, on the thing that he's working for. Well, what is it, the thing that's before? He said, I press on towards the mark and the prize and the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. That's what Peter says we need to always remember. Always remember the prize. Always remember the promises. Remember what God said is to be yours. Revelation chapter 21, verses 3 and 4. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Keep your eyes on the goal. Keep striving for that which is yet in the future. These great and precious promises. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house there are many mansions. For not so I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. When I come again, and that where I am, there you may be also. That's a goal to keep your eyes on. Remember the goal. It'll keep you in the right direction. It'll keep you on the right path. It'll keep your mind seeking for that which you truly desire. There's no greater reward, no greater promise than we have from Jesus Christ and eternal life with Christ and God. Chapter 1 again, 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 11. For so an infant shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Jesus Christ. You're working for the entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, brethren, there's some things you need to always remember. I'm going to remind you while I'm here. I'm going to remind you over and over. And he said, when I'm gone, he said, I hope that you'll always remember them. Because these things apparently Peter felt like were very important. Remember what you had, brethren. You have the truth. You have the whole truth. You have all of the truth. You can't improve on it. Don't be looking for something new. Remember what you have. Secondly, remember what's promised. You've got the greatest promises that they are. Eternal home with God and with Jesus Christ. With all of the things of this world that we don't like, when he talked about death and pain and sorrow in Revelation chapter, gone. They won't exist anymore. That's a promise. He said, you just always remember the promise. Always remember the promise. Sometimes maybe if you feel like giving up and quitting, and I don't know, go to church every week, church, or remember the promise. Remember what's before. Always remember, he said, verse 4, whereby is given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Verse 5, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. Peter said, brethren, always remember you have all you need in the Scriptures. Brethren, remember the great and precious promises. Number 3, he said, remember what's needed. And what's needed? Verse 5 and verse 10, diligence. You're going to need diligence, he said. Diligence, kind of hard to define, actually, but you're serious. You're striving hard. It's working at it. You're going to need diligence. You're not just going to be baptized and now I'm a Christian and then you just go to heaven. He said, no, remember what's needed. You've got the word. You don't need any more there. And you have the promises, they can't be improved upon. But he said, now you also need to remember what's needed, and what's needed is diligence. Make sure, he said. Be sure about this. Work at it. In addition to the word diligence, then he goes and says, and add to your faith. And when you first read that, you think, well, okay, you add to your faith. I've got faith. And well, yesterday I added virtue, so I got that one now. And tomorrow I'm going to add knowledge. And no, that's not what it's saying there. He's saying that you're adding faith to faith, and virtue to virtue, and knowledge to knowledge. Faith gets stronger. Your character keeps improving. It's better today than it was yesterday. Your knowledge, you know more. We hope we know more today than we did yesterday. Addition here is it's a continuous attributes. You don't say, all right, I got faith, I'm finished with that, I put it aside. And virtue, and then I put my virtue aside. No, it's continuous. Faith, virtue. These things just continue on and on through your life. And he goes on, and if we thought, well, I'm not sure about that, it looks like to me if you add, you just add it. But these things are added to your life, and they're growing, and they're increasing. And he goes on, and he uses the word here, if I can find it in a minute, but he said that you abounded. Doesn't this add? Verse 8, for these things be in you and abound. If it's abounding, now it's more faith than I had before. It's more virtue than I had before. And it's more patience than I had before. And there's more godliness and more brotherly kindness. It gets better and better and gets stronger and stronger. Brethren, don't forget what you need. You've got it here. You've got everything you need as far as God's Word. You've got great and precious promises. Don't ever lose sight of them. They'll keep you on the right road headed for the proper goal. And then he said, remember what you need to do. Diligence. You're going to need diligence. You're going to need activity. You're going to have to work at it. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12, as you've always obeyed, not only in my presence, but in my absence also. Work out your own salvation. There's the diligence. Remember what's going to take. What's going to take to reach that goal? It's going to take working. It's going to take diligence. It's going to be adding these virtues to your increasing them throughout your life. 1 Corinthians 15 and 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, he says that we need to and I have a complex on this passage. So I'll just turn to read it. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For some reason, I have this mental block for the last 10 years, I think. I forget those second words there. Be steadfast, unmovable, and always abounding in the work of the Lord. Because you know he said your labor is not in vain in the Lord, and there you're looking for that promise. That's promise. Remember what's promised. And keep working at it. Which you're going to need diligence if you ever reach that goal. If you ever reach that eternal home. If there's ever going to be gain, if you're ever going to gain that entrance, verse 11, into the everlasting kingdom of God. Remember what you need. Don't ever forget. Don't ever get to thinking. He's telling the brethren here, don't begin to think, well, I've made it, I'm all right. I don't have to keep striving anymore. I got my eyes on that prize up there, and I'm just waiting for it to come. You know, he said it's going to take diligence. It's going to take growth. It's going to take the activity on your part. Then he explains it there in verses 12 through 15 when he says, wherefore I'll not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. He said, I'm going to remind you over and over. Remember what you have. Remember what's promised. Remember what's going to be required of you on your part. What you're going to need to do to achieve that. He said, I'll not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. For though you know them and be established in them, I think, every time I read that, I think of it. When when someone is maybe teaching a Bible class and talking to us, they say, I better know that. Peter said, yeah, he said, they knew it too. Because I'm going to tell it to them. I'm going to tell it over and over. Because these things he's talking about, he said, apparently they're that important. I'll put you in remembrance, even though you know them and you're established in them. Yea, that can mean. He said, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, as long as I'm alive, I want to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Knowing that shortly I must put off my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. And I think this is the reason that he felt urgent. It seems like he can feel an urgency in his message there. That he reminds them, he wants all his remembrance.
off this tabernacle, even as a good idea.
Just hand me this and you can keep going and I'll fix it.
I'm about finished anyway. Was it knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as the Lord Jesus Christ has shown me. Moreover, I will endeavor that he may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance.
And I think that's exactly how every single individual here would feel about someone that you're talking to, about the gospel of Christ and the salvation that we find in Jesus Christ. And how long do you want them to remember it? Do you want them just remember it until I'm dead and gone? No, we're telling them now, always remember it, because we want you to remember it later on, after I'm gone, after somebody else is gone, after the Apostle Peter was gone. He said, I want you to remember these. These are important facts. Three things so far. One, remember what you have. You've got all the truth. There's no more. Don't let someone deceive you and talk about another book or a new revelation. Or Peter said, brethren, you just remember and always remember you've got all that you need. Then there's the promises. Great and precious promises. Eternal home with God and Jesus Christ. You just keep your eye on that promise, on that goal, on that crown. It'll keep you on the straight and narrow path. And then he says, remember, you need to work. Remember, it's not just going to be an easy road from here to heaven. It's going to take diligence. It's going to take additions. It's going to take abounding in the work of the Lord. No greater work that's more rewarding than the work in the Lord, because we're working towards that one goal. He said, I'm going to remind you. I'm going to keep reminding you. And he said, I want you to remember it even when I'm gone. Don't forget these things. But there's one more thing in chapter 1. And that's verse 16. And he says, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. What he's going to say in the closing verses of chapter 1, and that is, remember the certainty of the truth. You know, sometimes I think we may have a tendency to say, all right, we have the truth, we have it, you know, all we need, we don't need anymore, and so we'll just, we'll follow that and remember the great promises that we have, and I'll be working towards that goal as best as I know how. And but I don't know, is this really the truth? Yeah, I mean, it's old, been around a long time. We begin to wonder just a little bit. Brethren, he says, remember the certainty of the truth. Don't just remember this is the truth. Remember, it's absolutely certain this is the truth. He said, I made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We were eyewitnesses. This isn't some fairy tale, he said. This isn't something that we made up. We read it in a book somewhere. Or a great-great-grandfather told us a story. Or he said, we were eyewitnesses. This is an account of eyewitnesses. We have received from God the Father honor and glory. And when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. This voice which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. Don't doubt the words here. He said, don't begin to wonder and say, well, I'm just not sure. I mean, I don't deny the truth, but I'm just not sure. Peter said, remember this. You remember that those words, it's certain. The truth is certain. There's no room for any kind of doubt. Verse 17 and 18, where he talks about the voice of God, and we heard the voice of God, and we were there, and we saw the events that took place on the mountain. Verse 19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. He said, that's more sure than eyewitnesses. So you've got the eyewitness, you've got the account of someone that was present, and then he said you've got the words of prophecy, and that's even more certain than the eyewitness account was. At least that's the way I read verse 19. Whereunto you do well that you take heed, as a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. We need to take heed, brethren, he said, to this word and the certainty of the word, because and it's re- in your Faith and conviction is reinforced by the fact that it's accredited to eyewitnesses, and you have the sure word of prophecies to add to it. And then he goes on in verse 20 and saying, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is by any private interpretation or any private individual origin. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. He said it was spoken by God and not by man. That makes it certain. Can I depend? Can I be sure about it? Christians, I believe it. I follow it. I'm trying to do what it says. But then there's that little doubt way back in my mind. I'm not denying it, but I just... Peter said, brethren, I want you to remember. Among the three things that I named before, he said, I want you to remember the fourth one. And that is the truth. It's absolutely certain that this is the truth. Absolutely certain that this is the revelation of God. Eyewitnesses. He said, I heard God speaking. There was the true word of prophecy. There was the words that were revealed by God himself. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. Where all scripture inspired by God. This is God's revelation, he tells us. In Hebrews chapter 2. Verses 3 and 4, if I can find Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord? This was spoken by the Lord. This is not man's word or man's doctrine or teaching. This was spoken by the Lord, and it was confirmed unto us, that is the apostles, by them that heard him. And also God bearing witness with both signs and wonders and divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. This was revealed by God, he said in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. These are the words that were spoken by God. In Hebrews 2 and 3, he says that's exactly what happened. It was God revealed it unto men, and he confirmed it with signs following. And in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, he said that God now speaks to us through his Son, not through prophets, but through his Son, Jesus Christ. And that's through this written word of God that he's talking about. The point is that, brethren, remember, there's no room for doubt. It's not like, well, I don't deny us the Bible, but I'm not too sure. And as soon as that idea says, well, I'm just a little bit of doubt there, then that means I probably will regard it the truth lightly. I may still read it, but I just don't pay too much attention to it, because there's that little... Peter said, I want you to remember, this is God's revelation. This is the word of God. He said, it is testified by eyewitnesses. It was confirmed by the prophets, and God himself spoke it, directed it to mankind through the activity of the Holy Spirit. Remember, there's just no room for doubt. You either accept it or you don't accept it. Things to remember. Always remember, brethren, Peter tells them. Always remember what you have. If you begin to question that and say, well, I guess this is probably all I need, but I'm not. Peter said, you're on the wrong track. Remember, you have all you need. There is no more. You don't need to be looking for something new. And then remember what's promised. You think you can find a better promise than the one that's promised? Of course not. Greatest promise in all the world, Peter said. Just remember the promise. Remember where you're headed. Remember what you're going to achieve. You know, there's something that's sinful, something I shouldn't be doing. I kind of think I want to do that. And he said, just remember the promise. Here's the promise you're going to have. Here's where you can throw it away. Keep your eye on the promise. Greatest promise in all the world. And then he said, remember what's required. Work. Diligence. Activity. Growth. Talks about that growth in the very last chapter of 2 Peter. And the 17th verse. 17th and 18th verse about growing in knowledge. And I think this is part of this. His thought here about always remember these things. Always remember there in the last chapter. Always remember that you could fall away. That you could fail. He said, so grow in knowledge. Always remember to keep growing in knowledge. There's a great danger if our faith just decreases a little bit. just a little bit of doubt comes into our mind. Peter said, well, here's some things that will help you, brethren. He said, you just always remember these things. And don't ever forget them. Remember what you have, so you won't go look anywhere else. And remember what's promised, eternal heaven with God and Jesus Christ. And you remember what's needed? He said, work. You have to work at it. Just keep remembering that. Don't forget it. And remember that all the things that I'm telling you, that is Peter, it's truth. It's the absolute truth. There's no reason to doubt it. It's truth. It's been confirmed by God. And it's been accepted and practiced for thousands of years, actually. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. Though you know them, and you're established in them, the present truth. Yea, I think it's meet, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up, putting you in remembrance. Knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. And it'll make your journey easier to heaven. Maybe I'll close with reading the last verses of the book when he says, therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before. He used that expression over here. He said, I'm going to always remember these things even though you knew them before. But here in the last verses of the chapter, he said, I know that you know these things before. But then he says, beware lest ye also, being led away with the air of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Why was Peter so urgent, saying, I'm going to remind you of some things that you need to never forget? And he said, I know you already know them, but he said, I'm going to remind you anyway. And he said, I'm going to remind you as long as I'm in this Bible, I'm in this body, I'm going to remind you again and again and again. And he said, I want you to remember them after I'm gone. I think, why the urgency? Why is it so important? Beware, being led away with the air of the wicked, you fall from your own steadfastness. I really believe that these four things that Peter mentions here, as things that we need to remember, that they needed to remember, are things that we also need to remember. And I also believe that if you keep those things always in your remembrance, then you'll decrease the chance of being led away by the wicked. Remember what you have. Remember what's promised. Remember what's required. And remember the certainty of the truth. Not the least bit of doubt. Because as soon as I have just a little doubt, I don't deny the truth. I just doubt it. I'm just not absolutely certain about it. Then I'm not going to, I'll treat it lightly. I won't take it serious. Peter said, you remember, it's absolutely certain. We'll be judged according to, as the truth reveals. We need to prepare ourselves that we can stand strong in the faith. Don't know what to say here. but if I'm just thinking that if we can keep those thoughts that Peter had in our minds, always remember, you know, simple little things. But he said it'll keep you from falling away. It'll keep you from being led away. Ways to be led away, we can be led away by the question about whether we have all we need. Well, then you, right away, you're question about whether it's really heaven or not, and whether it's really like it said, and kind of drift away a little bit from it. question about whether really diligence is necessary. Maybe I can get to heaven and not work too hard at it and drift away. Or be led away if we think, well, might be true, but I don't know if it's true or not. No, you believe it's certainty of the truth. Always remember, brethren. Always remember these truths. And I believe they'll help to keep you faithful and strong and obedient to the will of God. And there'll be then there is reserved for you an entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If someone subject to the invitation of Christ this afternoon, if you need to obey the gospel where you repent of your sins, confess your faith, be baptized into Christ, if you're a child of God who's fallen away and need to return, I think these are things that I could say then to those and say, well, you know these things. You've known them for a long time. But then you've kind of forgotten them. No. You need to get a mind back on the truth and center on the truth and obey the truth and live the truth. And we invite you to come to Jesus' invitation while we stand and while we sing.